Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056. Or you can email me at betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
All right. That's right. You got to have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Amen. God bless you, all of you that are listening on tonight through Chaos Blog Talk Radio. This is your brother, Pastor Omar Zachary, and we would like to thank you for tuning in to Praise Tabernacle's Tuesday night Bible study. And we got a great one again for you on tonight. We would first of all just like to give God glory and honor for allowing us this opportunity to spread the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not just locally, but God has expanded our territories, and we're so grateful for that. But he do tells us to go ye therefore and teach all nations. So we thank God that doors have been opening for us to actually fulfill that great commission. And we're so grateful on tonight. Amen. Tonight we have Mr. Chaos himself, Elder Derek Oliver. He's going to be leading us in our Bible study on tonight. Also, we have Evangelist Stanton. She's on the line. Elder Bluett, Elder Taylor may be chiming in. My beautiful wife may be coming in a little later. But we're so grateful just for this opportunity. We just want to thank all of you that have been supporting all the Praise Tabernacle members, friends. Just thank you for how you've been supporting this ministry over the past 8 or 9 months or so. When the pandemic hit, we didn't know really what we was going to do and how we was going to continue, but God has been faithful, and we're just honored and grateful to God. So we want you to, we know you've been doing, is enjoying this word, get your pad and get your pencil out. We already know Mr. Chaos himself, he don't hold back. He's going to take us right to the word, and we know we're going to be excited. He's going to prick our hearts tonight. We're going to laugh a little bit, but ultimately we're going to receive what the Spirit is saying to us on tonight. So we're going to say a quick word of prayer, and then the next voice you hear will be Mr. Chaos himself, Elder Derek Oliver. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for tonight's Bible study. We thank you for what you're doing. We pray now that you would touch men here and all over this world, everyone that's listening to this under the sound of my voice. We thank you for your glory, and we pray that even on tonight, you send your anointing that makes teaching easy. Grant our hearts and minds that we may not only be hearers of the word, but that we will be doers. And we just thank you, and we commend this service into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Elder Derek Oliver, go ahead and take us on further, my brother.
Thank you, Pastor. It's an honor to be on tonight. First things first, I just want to say a special thank you to all the listeners out there and to the new listeners that's over there in London, I'm going to send a special shout-out to y'all because this is new, and I know it's late over there. And to be able to be up this late listening to the Word of God, it just shows the hunger and thirst that you guys got over there. We just want to send a special hello over there to my engineer, Barry King. He does the engineering for me from Blog Talk over in London. So I just want to send a special shout out to him. Also, I'm going to send another special shout out before I get into the word to the nursing home in my home city, to Bimba, I can't even say it, BB Chicken. I'm just going to say it like that. The nursing home, we got feeding the nursing home tonight as they listen to the Bible study in the nursing home. I just want to send a special shout out to them as we prepare meals for them for tonight as they listen to the broadcast in the nursing home. I just want to send a shout out to a special friend of mine, Mr. Nick, who owns the BV restaurant and is taking care of that for us. I just want to send a special shout out to him. I'm going to get into the word and Pastor, and to everyone, I think Elder Taylor is on now, and to Evangelist Stanton, I had to change my scripture. I know I told you I was coming out of Mark, but I switched it to John. Tonight, we're going to come out of John, the 12th chapter, and we're going to read 3 to 8. And before we get to reading the verses and everything, it's the same concept. I just wanted to switch it because I can drive better in John than I would in Mark. But tonight, we're going to talk about some things in the church. And I'm talking to the church because I just think when you go to church and when we was going to church, and there's always signs when you go to church. And whether you're in Church of God in Christ, whether you're in Baptist or Pentecostal or whatever church you go to, there's always signs. People like the shouting. If you go to the Church of God, and they love the shout, the good shout. Apostolics, if you go to apostolic church, you're going to be speaking in tongues. There's just certain signs that's put up there. You can't sit in certain seats because those are automatically designated to certain people. You can't look a certain way. You can't dress a certain way. There's certain things. There's signs all over the church. And with the pandemic, and I've been hyped up all weekend. I'm hyped up now, so I'm going to try to take my time. Because we're going to try to tear these signs down tonight. And I got the perfect scripture. And I'm going to do things a little differently tonight. I'm going to surprise everyone. I'm going to bring a special guest to read my scripture for me, if that's okay. I'm going to have my wife open us up with the scriptures I'm reading. And I'm coming out of John chapter 12, 3 through 8. And she's going to read that for me.
Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me.
Thank you. Tonight we're going to talk about tearing down some walls. Tearing down some signs. Again, I shared a story last night. I think my son may have been 5 years old, and I just bought a new vehicle, and I picked him up from school. And most 5 years olds is very talkative. They want to ask a lot of questions. And one of the questions my son asked me on this particular day, many years ago, was we were driving on the freeway. I just got the car. I didn't put it on the freeway, so I'm driving fast. And my son asking me, about the speedometer on the car, and he asked me, could it go 160? And I said, I think I can. He said, well, why don't you go 160? I said, because the speed limit says 55, and we have to drive what the speed limit says. And my son was very cute at that age because asking these questions, he sits there and folds his arms, and he says, we should just ride our bikes because these signs are limiting us from doing what we want to do. And I got to thinking about that when I'm a preacher, and I'm like, you know what? Every time we go to church, there's always these spiritual signs that's put up that's limiting us to do what we want to do. And right here in this scripture, Mary, the of Lazarus, was giving an offering to the Lord. And she wasn't giving a good offering. She was giving her best offering. So we're going to clean this up right now, because a lot of times we can give a good offering. And a good offering may be good to the pastor, to the church, to the individual. But is it your best offering that you're giving for the Lord? Because I can give a good offering to Pastor Omar, but the Lord knows my heart. That's good because he said, oh, that's good. We living in this pandemic. That's a good offering. You're doing good, Doc. Everything is going good. But are you giving your best offering? Mary gave her best offering with this oil. And the oil was a very expensive oil. It was very expensive, hard to get. And she didn't have a little bit, but she had a lot. And if you heard what Judas said, he said it was she had enough for a Roman soldier's salary. So you know that it was a lot of oil, and it had a good aroma to it. And what I want to make about this is sometimes we give a good offering, but we're not giving our best offering. We're cheating God. We need to start tearing some of these signs down because it looked good in the eye that you give an offering. But is it your best offering? I know it's going to get quiet, but I'm going to get you to the shout in a minute because we want to give good offerings. We want to do good around certain people. We want to be good around certain things. But here this woman was, and she gave her best offering to the Lord. And one of the disciples, it just happens to be Judas, and you already read about him, and it was complaining about the offering that she was giving. He was more concerned, should she give it to the poor? She could be helping the poor. Now, a lot of times, and I know we're going to be opening the church up and everything, and every time someone do something, someone always got something to say in the negative. Even though she was giving her best, someone around Jesus, a disciple, a church member, want to criticize somebody's best offering. We need to start tearing the signs down. Because it was a good offering to her. It was all she had. And it wasn't all she had. It was the best she had. So when you start giving service to the Lord, are you giving him a good offering or are you giving him your best offering? And when you have to think about that for a minute. Now, see, I want to preach now because that is normally where I take off, but I'm going to try to teach some things tonight. It not not be a good offering. It has to be your best offering. And the offering ain't got nothing to do with where you, it had nothing to do. And since Praise Tabernacle, it ain't got nothing to do with Praise Tabernacle. My offering ain't got nothing to do with Praise Tabernacle. It may be good in their sight. It may be good in everybody else's sight. But God knows my heart. You got to have the best offering. So when you come to church, if you're not giving your best offering, you're going to be like Judas. Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yes. We know that he betrayed Jesus. But there's a lot of Judases in the church who want to complain about everything and everybody. And because and you got to understand a little thing about Mary. Let me talk about Mary a little bit. Mary's brother was Lazarus. Lazarus was in the house too. Lazarus just got raised from the dead. So do you think after God blessed you, you can only give him your good offering? Think about that for a minute. It looked good, but is it your best? Are you doing your best for the Lord after everything he done for you? Are you giving him your best shout? Are you giving him your best service? Are you giving him the best that you have, or are you just giving him good service? Or like my daddy used to say, lip service.
Yeah.
And see, this is what we need to understand when we come into the church. Start tearing the signs down. When we come into church, someone got to tell you when to stand. They tell you when to clap. They tell you when to shout.
Yeah.
They tell you when to give. They tell you all the instructions, and we, just like computers, we do it. Well, that was a good service. But are you giving him your best service? Because she gave the oil, and you saw that the Bible says that it was expensive. And when you really do a study of it, she had a lot of it, but it was hard to get. It was a very hard get, and it only comes from these plants. So she had a lot
right.
of it, and she gave
right.
her best. And when she gave it to him, because you got to understand her mindset. Her brother was dead, and Jesus came 4 days late. And as he raised Lazarus, and right before he's getting ready to go to Calvary, she wanted to bless him with her best.
There you go. There you go.
So what I want to ask the question to people that's listening all over the place, are you giving the Lord your best, or are you just giving him good?
Mm.
Because if you're giving him good, you should be feeling, all right, Brother Derek, let's hurry up and get past this, because now you're starting to step on some toes. Well, I want to step on your toes, because when we do go back into the church, I want to be able to give the Lord my best. I can't do things the way I used to do it, because I'm conforming
right.
to what you want me to do. You want me to sit here and teach so you can highlight certain script. That's not there. I got to give the Lord what
mm-hmm.
I can give him, which is my best service. So I'm going to give him my best
mm-hmm.
service. And when I give him my best service, don't think that I don't know that someone is going to try to come against my best service, just like Judas did. And Judas was a thief. And then Judas betrayed
yep.
him. So all these people that was in there, and you really want to know the truth, I don't even think Mary was invited to be in the house. She went in there because of what the Lord has done for her. She broke all the rules because she wanted
right.
to bless the Lord with what she had, the best that
right.
she had. And when she did that, the disciples were murmuring amongst themselves, why is she doing this? They want to question you. And when people question you, that's when you know you're doing the work of the Lord. Anyone want anything to say before I go on?
I do real quick, Elder, before a pastor. I can hear it in his voice. But, amen, awesome word on tonight. Mary came because she was grateful. Mary came because Jesus had did something for her family that she was so grateful for that she had to pour herself out to Jesus for what he did. And I like this because some people may just be thinking you're talking about money, or some people may just be thinking you're talking about items, but it's like, when God has done something for you, do you go and worship and praise before him to let him know how grateful you are? Do you give him a half-hearted praise? Or do you really allow yourself to get into his presence and tell him thank you because you're so grateful? You're grateful for these last 8 or 9 months that you still have your health intact. You're grateful because this last 8 or 9 months, you may have lost your job, but food has been on your table. You're grateful because this last 8 or 9 months, you still have a roof over your head. Or do you just say, Lord, I thank you, and you don't give him your best praise. You don't give him your best worship. You don't give him the best of yourself because of what he did. So I like that Mary has brought the best ointment, because it reminds us to give God our best, not just a half-hearted, you know, I'm going to take 2 minutes to say thank you, God, but you will watch TV for 3 and 4 hours, but you won't give God an hour. You won't even give God 15 minutes to half an hour. So
wow.
So we should come and give God a great thank you by getting you into his presence. Pastor, you can go ahead. Yeah. I know you ready for something.
Y'all have really summed that up. I preached this probably about 3 weeks to a month ago. This same, I think I came out of, it might have been out of Luke, may have been Matthew, Mark, one of them, but I talked about this, and I was emphasizing being at Jesus' feet. We are so quick to wanting to be in his face that we forget to reverence his feet, meaning humbly submitting to his authority, humbly submitting to his power, acknowledging him for who he is. See, when we have the attitude of Judas, we'll stay in his face. And when we stay in folks' face, we're mumbling, we're complaining, we're fault-finding. You know, we can't see the forest for the trees because we're constantly in the face. But when we get at the feet, when we get humbly at the feet, we can reverence Christ for who he is. We can honor and acknowledge him for who he is. The scripture teaches that he's the only wise God, our Savior. He's God all by himself. He was God in the flesh. And Mary took the time, as you guys have so gracefully stated, to remember and reflect on what Jesus had already done. And now let's make it clear. Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they had a great relationship with Jesus. Jesus often visited their home. He ate in their home. It was because of them that we read the shortest scripture in the Bible, that Jesus wept because of them. So they knew his authority. They knew his power. But Mary, even when Jesus came to eat at their house one time, there was a conversation that her sister Martha had a problem that Mary wanted to stay at Jesus' feet even then. While Martha was up worrying about serving and all that, meaning Martha was more concerned about the face, symbolically or similar to Lazarus now, concerned about the face and everything that's going on up high. We understand that it didn't have nothing to do with Lazarus being considered of the poor. It was all about him being a thief. It was all about him. You know, he took care of the money. So he probably put his fingers in the money sometime and did some things that was contrary. So being that Jesus knew Lazarus' heart, knew Judas' heart, he understood, look, you're going to have the poor with you always. But me, you're not. And sometimes we just, and I'm saying this, I'm going to be through. Sometimes we need to just reflect on what we got around us. Sometimes we will do more, we will appreciate people that's farther off more than we will people that's right up under us. Sometimes in our families, you know, you have women that they would do right by their boss. They'll go to church and do right by the pastor. They'll call their daddy and do right by their daddy. But when it comes to their own husband, they treat that man like he's worthless. And you got men that do the same thing. They'll go to church and love on the mothers. They'll love on somebody else's wife. If their supervisor is a woman, they'll do right by their supervisor. But when they go home, they won't even speak to their own wife. So we have to be careful to let's appreciate, as Jesus said, the poor you're going to have with you always. But me, you're not. Let's begin to appreciate the jewels and the gifts that God has already placed right in front of us. Lest we forget what those once those things are gone, we can't get them back. That's it.
Amen. Amen. I just want us, because when I read this, and then when you see what transpires, it makes me wonder about, are we giving God our best when we walk into the house of the Lord? Or when we out in public, are we giving him our best? It don't necessarily have to be inside four walls of a church. But when you're out at work or wherever you are you giving him your best, or are you just giving good service? Just because you got gospel music playing in your car don't make you a Christian. Just because you can say it doesn't make you a child of God. But when you're giving him the best, all you got, when you remember what you was before you are what you are right now, if you start doing that and start thinking about that for a minute, I think when we get up in the morning, we have a little bit of praise to give him, that we should be praising him all the time. I understand we have down days, but we still should be giving our best service to the Lord. This isn't something that we do just a few times a year or a few times a week. This is a lifestyle. We ought to give our best every single day to the Lord. And when I give my best, I'm just not going to do it by the bishop so the bishop can see me doing my best, because the bishop ain't got a heaven and hell to put me in. I can't just do it around when I'm around the evangelist Stanton, because evangelist Stanton ain't got no heaven and hell to put me in. Or when I talk to Elder Taylor, I'm just going to act holy around him because he don't have a heaven and hell to put me in. But we in the church community, this is what we do. We put on a good act. We put on a good service.
Right, right.
And when we put the service on, the thing about it is, you may fool me, you may fool the bishop,
yep.
You may fool the elder, but you can't fool the Lord, because he knows your heart.
Never.
And like this
right,
woman
right.
was giving
That's
it,
true.
Like she was giving it, everyone was mumbling. Not just dudes, they was all, why is she doing this? Because she remembered. And once you remember, and see, I'm talking to you tonight because this is personal. I want you to remember what he did to you, what the Lord did for you. And once you remember, the Lord is the one that woke you up. The Lord is the one that put you in your right mind this morning, gave you the activities of your limb this morning, and you just want to give him some good service. The devil is alive. I wanted to bring this because now I'm going to go to my four L's. I hope you get ready for the four L's, because when I get done with the four L's, I'm done. In order to tear the signs down, there's four things we have, and I got scripture for you when I get it. There's four things we got to do, and I tried to slow myself down with my notes because I get happy and want to go. But the four L's, I'm just going to tell you, love, learn, listen, and lead. If you can give God your best and you can learn to love, and we're going to go to love, and you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but if you, I'm going to use the word love. John 3:16. Everyone know what John 3:16 says. You should know what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So when you can learn to love like Jesus loved, when you can learn to love like God loved and give the way he gave his, the ultimate, he gave his son. What are you giving? So when we can love the way that he loves, it would take us to the next one. It would take us to the next one, and the next one is learn. Philippians 4:9. Philippians 4:9 says, and this is the learn. Philippians 4:9. The things in which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, this do, and the God of peace will be with you. That's Philippians.
There you go.
Chapter 4, verse 9. When you get that, you can learn some things about God. And once you learn, the next thing is you got to listen. I'm going to go to James. James 1:19.
That's good, man.
James 1:19. In James 1:19, and it says, so then, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, to wrath. See, when you learn to listen, you can't be talking all the time. You got to listen.
That's right.
You got to listen to what God is saying. You can't talk all the time. You got to listen. One of the L's is we got to listen. We got to love. We got to learn. We got to listen. And then we got to lead. Lead, we're going to Romans 8:14.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 8:14. For we know that the law of the Romans 8:14. I'm sorry.
You're doing good, Doc.
I'm sorry, I didn't got happy and dropped my Bible. Romans 8:14. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. I'm gonna read that again. Romans 8:14. And it says, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Now, I gave you the scriptures. Now I got to go. And that was Romans 8:14. If you can love like John 3:16 and love the way the Lord loved, love the way God loved, and give, what are you going to give? Because giving is part of love. When you give someone something, you're showing love. You're showing that you love them no matter what state they come in, no matter how they look, how they act. We have to show love to them. We have to give them love. We have to be that. And the church today has lost love. We don't want to love everybody. We only want to love certain people. If they act right and they do right things, we have to love them regardless how they are, what they do, or how they do things. I mentioned to my wife about my grandfather. We went fishing one day. And when we went fishing, it was way back in the 80s. I'm showing my age. And when we went fishing, there was a little storefront store. It says, you catch them, we clean them. And see, this is what the church ought to get back to. We need to go back old school. We ought to go out and catch the fish, but let somebody else clean them up. And what I'm saying is that when you love people, we'll go out and get them and bring them to the church, but let the Lord clean them up. He ain't designed that for us to do. He told us to go catch them. He didn't tell us to clean them up. And the difference, when people come into church, we ought to love them unconditionally. And once you love them unconditionally, then we need to do the other L. We need to listen. We need to listen to the Lord. Listen to him tell us how to do certain things. Listen to him and be led by listening to what the Lord is telling us to do. And then not only listen, we need to learn how to listen to the God. Learn how to listen. Learn. And I'm saying this because if we don't learn it, we don't know. And if you don't know to learn, if you don't know how to learn, you don't know how to listen. See, listen and learn is pretty much go hand in hand together. Sometimes you got to shut up and listen so you can learn something. And then once you learn something, now you can lead. Now you can lead because now you know that you're hearing from the Lord and the Lord is guiding you. And if the Lord is guiding you, he's going to lead you in the right direction. What happens is we don't want to love and we don't love nobody, so we can't learn nothing. And we can't learn nothing. We can't listen to nobody because we ain't learned nothing. And you don't know how to listen to the Spirit if you ain't learned how to listen to the Spirit. So all you're doing is listening to people. And when you're listening to people, you see where you get. I guarantee you, Pastor, I'm just talking now, but I guarantee you, I've already saw the picture last night. When Praise Tabernacle opened, I'm going to kill some signs right now for you, Pastor, because I've heard this conversation. They going to say, this is church folks now. And I'm going to use you as an example because I know you ain't going to mind and you can take it. But they going to say this when we go back to the church. And you open the door.
What are they going to say?
They going to say, Pastor must be sick. He done lost some weight. He didn't used to look like that. What's wrong with him? You know that's coming. And then I got to get on your wife a little bit. Oh, she must not be feeding him. Why ain't she cooking? They do all that work. And now they all up in your business. See, this is what church folks do. Instead of loving, listening, learning, and leading. We good at gossiping, and we'll make a story out of anything.
Right.
And then you wonder why the church ain't growing. Because we don't know how to we don't know how to learn. We don't know how to lead, and we don't know how to love. Did you see them boys come in there with them baggy pants? Did you see them? Now, it ain't no better than coming in there like that. We can't have that in our church. It's not your church.
That's right.
We don't want to represent that. It's not you. When Mary came in and she had her best off, she came with her best. And when people come into the church, regardless what they know, what they don't know, they think they're coming in with their best, but you got to understand, we got to love them first. Then they got to listen to us.
That's right.
Then they got to learn from us, and then they can lead from us if we're all under the same spirit of a God. But if we're not under the same spirit, if we got the signs of Church of God in Christ, well, only the Church of God in Christ can be saved. If we got the sign of Baptist, then only the Baptist can be saved. See, now these signs, people come in confused. And then when you try to teach them, oh, everyone can teach. Now you got to have where you go to school to teach at. All these questions come up, and what's being lost is members learning how to follow Christ. Jesus was
That's
on his
it.
Way to be
That's it.
Crucified. And his disciples
yep.
said, why is she doing this? That sounds like church to me. And I'm excited because I don't think I'm upset. I'm excited about the word of God because I want to give my best. I don't want to lose focus in the negative, but look at the positive. She gave her best. And see, the Lord has healed me. And not only has he healed me, but he blessed me. He gave me a 9th and 10th chance to get it right. He gave me a 12th, 13th chance to get it right because I fell a lot of times. But he keeps picking me up. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. So I have to continue to give him my best service. And when you give him your best
yes.
service, you can walk in love. You can listen in love. You can learn in love. And you can lead in love. And when you do the four L's, guess what happens? You become one of them. You become a special saint to the Lord. He can use you in all avenues. And even the ones that want to gossip, you can already tell good stories. Just think if you can tell a story about how Jesus loved you instead of trying
there
to tell somebody else's business, tell the business how Jesus loved you. There's ministry in this for you. We're not going to tell
right.
you to sit down. We can use you.
Right.
You're a good storyteller.
Right.
You can tell the story of Jesus
right.
probably better than I can. You tell everybody else's business.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well tell Jesus' business. We got a place for you in the church. We're not going to run you away. We can use you. The people that's stealing the money, that know how to steal money, we know you're good at stealing
mm-hmm.
it. Come show us how to get it. If you're good at stealing it, well, you can be pretty good at telling us how we can make it. So we need to reverse some of these things and stop putting signs up to tell people they can't come to church because of this, that, and the other. Once they get there, let the Holy Spirit clean them up. And if you get an attitude, yeah, I feel it now. If you get an attitude, you know, when people start shouting, people get an attitude. You know how David was dancing till his clothes came off? Someone got upset. Michael got upset because he was praising
his
the
wife.
Lord till his clothes came off. His wife got upset. Bonner Mayes, blind man, yelling and screaming. He was upsetting everybody because he was screaming. He screamed some more because he wanted to get the attention of the Lord. When you start doing things right for the Lord, even though you may not be all the way right, the Lord, you will have his attention.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
It's the people that's in the church that they ain't doing nothing, ain't making no noise.
There you go.
That's guarding the house of God. That's around.
There you go.
Them are the ones that's in the way. Them are the ones that bring that spirit down. Now, I know the preachers know what I'm talking about. When
right.
you got to get up there and preach, and it's hard for you to preach
yeah.
because you got so many different
yeah.
spirits coming at you that you got to kind of lose
yeah.
yourself in order to get the spirit. You
yeah.
ain't got no help nowhere. My
mm-hmm.
daddy used to say, don't ever bring me up cold. He told L, don't bring me up cold. Don't do it. Don't bring me up.
Yeah, I
don't want you to get that atmosphere right. Because sometimes you got people wanting to crush the atmosphere in the church. And
right.
I know the preachers
That's
and the
right.
teachers hear it
That's
and they
right.
feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So when we go
right.
back
yep.
into the church, we ought not go back in the same way we came out. We ought to learn
there
something from while we've been on
there
this quarantine. A about giving God our best service. It's not about who's preaching, who's teaching, who's singing. It's about when you come in, do you remember what the Lord has done for you?
Yeah.
Right.
Elder,
yeah.
Elder Oliver.
Yes.
Elder. Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out, because I want to pause for a station identification. This is my own commercial break that I'm calling at the pastor. I just want to send notice to anyone that's listening, and when we start the process of slowly trying to do something back corporately in a slow fashion, I'm at the mindset now that if you're not coming with the attitude of Mary to honor and worship and praise God, then I'm at the attitude now, don't even come. For the simple fact, it has to be about Christ and Him crucified. When you look at the history, and this is something that I've really had to pay attention to over these past 8 months, when you look at the history of the early church, when the church really took off in the book of Acts, it was for those that wanted to know Christ and for those that wanted to be saved. People that had ulterior motives, God killed as they came to the apostles. You look at the story, and it's good you're teaching this tonight, because when we go back and look at the story of Ananias and Sapphira, the husband and wife, it came down to giving. It came down to them having something ill in their heart, similar to Judas. We know how Judas ended up. He ended up dead. And then we look at the story of Ananias and Sapphira, that it was their own stuff. They could have did what they wanted to do with it, but there was some type of malice in their heart that the devil had raised them up, had got in them, husband and wife got in both of them to camouflage, to act the part, to sit among the saints, to look the part. But they did not have the Spirit of God in them.
Right.
So when they came and Peter asked them, he said, well, is this the right, what you're giving? Is this, you sure this is the right amount? What you know, it's your own, you can do what you want. And Ananias said, yeah, this is it. He dropped dead. And one preacher said 3 hours later, his wife came in. She got to church late and didn't know that they had already buried and had her husband's funeral. But the pallbearers were still waiting at the door because she reported the same lie. All in giving, her motives was wrong, because her husband and wife team had built up something in their heart that they did not have to do. So I'm of the mind frame now. I've always said this. Georgia is a right to work state. That means you can go to work, you can quit at any time. They can pretty much fire you at any time. And not only is it a right to work state, but it's a right to church state. Meaning most of us pass probably at the minimum 5 churches, you know, getting to our church. So you have the right to go to whatever church you want to. But for Praise Tabernacle, as we slowly listen to the voice of God and want to come back together, we want to make sure, as you're stating, we want to have Mary's spirit. We want to have Mary's spirit. We don't want to have Judas. We want to have Mary's spirit, where I'm already saying service is not going to be as long. You know, my wife and children, we would get there on a Sunday morning at 9:30 and probably wouldn't get home to 2:30 or 3:30. That's a full-time job. As Elder has stated time and time again, some of the same stuff I preach, we would have to counsel and talk to folks after the service about what we just preached. And we ain't going to be doing all that. So we're looking at the Tuesday night Bible study remaining the same. We want to be less stressful and less burdensome on the families. So we're not going to be just running back in. And we almost got to the point where we was in service almost every day. But we want to spend more time with the family. Sunday prayer, if you want to have prayer with your family. If you want Sunday school, you can have Sunday school with your family. Okay, so there's going to be a lot of changes as we are slowly going back into this process. So I appreciate what you're teaching on tonight. And don't ever let me hear you say again, you can't teach. That may not be what you like to do, but it ain't because you can't do it. Go ahead, Doc.
Amen. I do have something to say, Elder, before you jump back on. Amen, Pastor. I was looking at that verse 3, and at the tail end of that verse, it says, "And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." And that kind of reminds me, our praise and our worship changes the atmosphere. Now, Judas had another motive. He tried to come in and disrupt that atmosphere. And Pastor, what you were saying, that kind of reminds me. Here it is. You have people coming in wanting to pour their heart out to God. And it's supposed to, the smell of the sweet aroma is there to change the atmosphere, to give hope, to encourage, to edify God. But you have some people come with the wrong motive, and they want to disrupt that atmosphere. But God is trying to get us to a different level. God is trying to get us to a different level. This last 8 months, I really do believe, like Elder has been talking about, it has been a learning experience this last 8 months, because we should have been learning how to listen to God so that he can lead us into love. We should have been learning how to listen to God so that he can lead us into unconditional love, so we, especially in the church, especially us, though, of those of the household of faith, our words never should be hard to harm each other. Our words should be building each other up. Our words should be to encourage each other. Our words should be to edify Christ. Our words should be that of love and so that sweet aroma will fill the house, and it will change the atmosphere of those coming in, that deliverance, that healing, that salvation, that needs peace, that needs strength, that needs joy.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. Sometimes we get a little weak.
Yeah.
Just other people to encourage us. Having other people with the word, changing the atmosphere. You can walk out and say, "I think I'm gonna run on and see what the end is going to be."
Watch it.
That's good.
Yeah. Sounds like the rabbi.
Great teachings. He can teach too, Pastor.
I know he can.
Yeah, just piggybacking off Evangelist Stanton, this time has allowed us to really, really sit down and consider our ways as God wants us to do. And when you think back on when we were going to church 2 or 3 times a week, and how you think about how we were interacting with each other, interacting with the people of God, how we could have made situations better. Even the church as a whole, and I talked, I think, last week on the our gifts that we bring, that God gives each and every one of us a gift that we can come together and unite one another, and everybody can learn how to teach and preach and do the things necessary to bring others into the church. And that's what Apostle Paul was talking about, everybody using their gifts, where he gave some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists, some prophets. And that was for the edification of the church, to bring the church together. So I think, this time, this 8 or 9 months, should have given a lot of us a lot of time to really think about, were we doing those things? Think about, were we breaking down walls or building up walls, even between each other? So, those last in a time that God has given us, not only to protect ourselves from this virus, but to protect ourselves from the devil wanting to use us and sift us, and to consider
Amen.
Our ways and how our ways in our life. But good teaching.
Amen. Amen. Elder Oliver, before you get on through with your other L's, y'all remember when the early church had took off in Acts, one of y'all evangelists, y'all can probably tell the exact scripture, but when that when the church came together, they was on one accord. When they mm-hmm. was speaking the same thing, praying, and they had the same agenda. They had
right.
It wasn't about it wasn't about who could sit the highest, who was the most gifted. They had all things in common, and the Bible mm-hmm. say that they even sold their stuff so that everybody, the widows, the orphans. I mean, so. Everybody could be okay. And then it goes on and it says that Jesus, God added to the church daily such as should be saved. See, when we forget that the whole reason for ministry is about souls being saved, but when we think it's about, anything else outside of souls, we've gotten on the wrong path. So God wants to add to the church daily. This is what the word teaches. He had and at one time there was 3,000 on one. I think Peter, if I'm not mistaken, Peter had preached the message, and over 3,000 souls came a part of the church over one message. So if we could just preach Jesus, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, if we can just preach Jesus and keep the main thing being the souls, how can we change lives? How can we affect families? I've always wanted and desired strong men. That'll be strong men for their wives and strong families. And I've said for years, if you got strong families, you will automatically have a strong church. If you have a strong church, you'll automatically have a strong community. If you have a strong community, you will automatically have a strong city. And it just keeps growing. It keeps growing. So we have to make sure, especially over these last 8-9 months, that our motive, we could have easily said, we're just going to just close it and be through with it. We ain't going to worry about nothing. But I believe we have a core group. Matter of fact, not even believe, I know we have a core group that motive is how can we preach Jesus and how can we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to whoever would allow us to spread it to them. God will add to the church. God has added to Praise Tabernacle through these 8 months in ways that I, as a pastor, never dreamed it. But because we stayed the course and we kept the main thing, and that's what we're going to continue to do. We're going to keep the focus on Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it, Elder Oliver.
Maybe he's
what happened to
taking a break right quick. but that part of that, what you was talking about, was out of Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 32,
okay.
The community of positions.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Before I went out, I think I was muted for a second. But thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Elder Bluett. But my closing was Evangelist Stanton took my closing about the ointment and the aroma and the change And when we come into the house of the Lord, there ought to be an aroma. There ought to be, people ought to feel the change when they walk in. And what we should desire in the last month as we close out the year 2020, we ought to give people the aroma of hope, that there's hope in Jesus, that you can get your life right in Jesus. That's what it's about in these last days. That's what it's about closing the year out. It's about getting your life right with Jesus. And if you can love, learn, listen, and lead, that's it. That is the ticket. And give your best offering to the Lord. Don't come in just trying to be good. Because I'm letting you know now, whenever the day comes when the doors open, Elder Oliver got a new attitude. I'm not going to be the same elder I was 6 months ago because I didn't learn some things.
There you go.
I got to give my best.
Sir.
I don't care who like it, who don't like it. And when she opened the oil, she didn't care who liked it or who didn't like it because it was her
best.
And when you're doing your best, it really you become, you don't care what anybody else say. You don't care how other people act because you're giving your best. So, yeah, I'm saying tear the signs down. So when I come into the church, I'm coming in with my best because the Lord has been too good to me. He didn't raise me up several times. He didn't made ways and took some when I should have. I don't deserve to be where I'm at right now, but because of the Lord saw fit, the least I can give him my best service. I don't need no time to tell him to shout. I don't need the bishop telling me I can preach this day or this, because if I don't ever preach again, I'm going to continue to preach because the Lord put it in me, and I'm going to use it.
Right.
It won't be an excuse no more, because the church don't start. It don't start on Clayton Street. Church start in my house.
There you go.
So if I ain't preaching in my house, I really don't need to be preaching in the church. That's my attitude. I can't speak for everybody else, but that's there. When I come in, I'm giving my best service, not a good service. See, we've been doing good too long. And some of us can't do good because God knows your heart. But it was good for us because we don't know your heart. I don't care about your heart. I'm more concerned about what the Lord is doing for me and how I can be pleasing to him. And if I'm pleasing to him, I can be pleasing to each and everybody else because I know how to love the way he loved. I know how to listen the way he listened. I know how to learn the way he learned. And I know how to lead because I'm being led by the Spirit of God. And if you're not doing any of them else, it's kind of hard to be led by the Spirit if you don't even know the Spirit. You just jumping because somebody else jumping. I learned that. I'm done, Pastor. I learned that. I was out here jumping around for the Black Lives Matter.
Yes, sir.
Just jumping around. Went and had me a shirt made.
Yes, sir.
Special shirt made. Black Lives Matter. And then I come to find out I went to total one. All lives matter. If they don't know Jesus, it's my job. I'm not going to go marching and protesting for all this stuff because it don't mean nothing. But I will protest for Jesus for what he did for us on Calvary's cross. I will march for that.
Yes, sir.
I will march not just for black lives, but for all lives. I'm just letting it play. I'm going to give my best service.
Yes,
and for the racial people that's out there that's doing racial things, that's a spirit straight from the from the pits of hell. How do you get rid of that? By fasting and praying. And casting them demons out. We don't want to get on our knees and get dirty in the spiritual realm. But we look good in the natural realm. We don't want to push the plate away and say, this is how we're going to deal with it. We got the answers to deliver all this out of our city, out of our churches, out of our schools, out of our families. We just don't want to do it because it requires us to do something spiritual. And if your heart ain't lined up with the Lord and you ain't loving because you don't love your neighbor, you don't even love your wife, you don't even love your kid, but yet you're going to say you love the Lord and you're going to sit up here and march for Black Lives Matter.
And you ain't even taking care of your own children.
And don't take care of them. Don't want to take care of I'm telling you, when the church doors open, there will be a brand new Elder Olive. I'm not going to say Elder Olive. I'm going to go Brother Olive. You can take the title off my name. It will be a brand new Brother Olive. I might sit with the elders and the deacons, and I might sit in the back. It depends on how the Spirit leads me that day. But I'm not following no more signs. Lord, so, I'm telling you now, I'm not apologizing no more for how I serve the Lord. Yes, Doc.
Just sit with your wife and we'll be all right. Just sit with your wife and children, and I think that'll be a good enough statement.
That's exactly what I'm going to do, because my wife will be with me. And so I had her read the scripture. I wanted to do something different. And I wanted her to, because I'm trying to create an atmosphere of giving my best. And see, I'm not best by myself, because me and my wife are one. So when I do what I do, I'm representing her as she represents me. So when we do something, you see her right there with me. So when I had her read it tonight, I was tearing some of these walls down, because she's going to be right there in the fight with me, because she can control me. Ain't too many people do it. But she can do it. So yeah, she's going to be with me. The Lord, I'm not crazy, and I'm not dumb. I'm gonna use what the Lord gave me. It makes me a better man. And just for a shout out to all the men that's out there listening, if you got a wife, get around some real men that know how to take care of
that's
their wives.
Right.
Stop hanging around
that's
these
right.
jokers. Because I'd have been around some preachers, and when they get around me, they won't talk about other women. And my spirit just, I'm not going to get into that. I'm done, Pastor. Go ahead. I hope y'all enjoyed the lesson tonight. I thank everyone for listening. I just want to thank the things that's going on in the Church of Praise Tabernacle, being able to be over in London, opening up new doors. And I know when this pandemic is over, you're going to see the growth when it's over. Seeds have been planted months ago. People talking right now. And to be honest with you, me and the pastor really ain't talked about nothing. We just fellowship. We ain't had no thought. Plan like people think we have. Like we sit and meet every week about certain things. This stuff just happens because as we follow the Lord, as he followed the Lord, I'm going to follow him. And stuff will just start happening.
That's it.
And when it happens, only person that can get the credit is the Lord.
That's
I'm going to tell you, I don't know what I'm doing. I really don't have a clue. I don't. And I'm not going to take no glory for anything. I thank y'all for listening to me tonight. I said I was going to be done by 8. And I'm owe lunches to people now. So I'm done talking about it. I'm turning it back over to you.
That's him, Mr. Chaos himself in the flesh. Amen. Love. I don't know if I got it in order. Love. Listen.
Learn. Listen
learn,
and lead.
And lead. Okay. Yeah. Great. As Elder Blue and I both said, man, we don't want to hear you saying that no more about you can't teach or you don't like to teach. You know, you may not like it, but you do a good job. You do a good job at it. So we appreciate the gift. We appreciate the gift that God has blessed us with in the person of Elder Oliver. And we ain't trying to change that, and we know we can't change you anyway, even if we was trying to change. We don't do that. We thank God. For who you are. We thank God for your character, and we just appreciate, thank God for the growth that we've seen out of both you and your wife, because God knows on Monday nights I wasn't listening to nobody, whether I was at baseball practice or whatever, but now you guys have gotten me hooked on D&K, whether I'm walking the mountains or at baseball practice or wherever we are. Y'all have done such an awesome job, the growth in both you and your wife. And I'm just a stickler for a husband and wife team. That's one of the, to me, that's the greatest thing. Anybody that knows me and knows how I am about family, it's a honor. And this is one of the things that we're going back and looking at ways that we can slowly come back together, slowly have some type of fellowship again is all going to be based around families. You know, we as elders and bishops and all this stuff, you know, to me, honestly, if I sit with my wife every service, I'm okay. I go to funerals, and my wife can tell you I've been asked to sit up amongst the bishops and the apostles and all this stuff, and I don't. That doesn't make me who I am. I feel honored being able to sit next to my wife. I feel honored to have a woman that loves me and that I believe God favored me with. She's my favorite. And to be able to sit next to her with or without a collar on, with or without a purple or red, scarlet shirt, that doesn't define me. My sister was messing with me today, saying, Omar, were you going to wear your purple, your clergy shirt to the funeral Saturday? I said, no, I'm not officiating or nothing like that. I'm wearing me a bow tie and wear my nice colored socks and my shoes that my wife bought me. So that's just what we want to key in on is the family. Because when you're dead and gone, you know, church folk, and let's just be honest, most of us on here, we've been in church a good while. I know Elder Oliver and Elder Taylor has been in church like me our whole lives. And I think Evangelist Stanton, I know Elder Bluett, he came up on the rough side, but God saved him. Amen. So, but we know how church folk, they'll cry and they'll do all this. And next thing you know, they're going to find another church. And you ain't even got to be there and they'll find another church. It is what it is. But it's the family. It's that husband, the wife, the children that we want to make sure, as Paul said, after I preach to others, I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be lost. And that's what we don't want. We don't want, we claim to love God, but then we birth children that can't stand the God that we claim to love. And it shouldn't be that way.
That's right.
And the reason why it's like that is because for so many years, we have played a role in church, but then when we get home, we change characters. We change, as the old folks would say, we flip the script. So our children have seen us do one thing in church, speaking in tongues, loving everybody, hugging everybody, and doing all this. But when we get home, we have no time for our children. I'm out here now. I mean, we had a night off of baseball tonight. I didn't have no baseball practice. But right now, it's 8-something. I'm looking at my two of my three sons. I brought them out here with me. We came to the park. I got my walking in, got my exercising in. But I'm sitting here looking at my two boys have their own baseball practice. They're in the batting cage. As I speak right now, Macho is pitching to Zach. He almost hit it. He just almost – now, Zach throwed the bat down. Now, they about to fight. Okay, so I want my children to love – I want my children to love the God that I preach about. And I feel the only way, the most effective way for them for that to happen, I feel the most effective way for that to happen is for them to see me share and live the life of Jesus Christ. So, Elder Bluett, Elder Taylor, y'all got any last word? Elder Oliver, great job. I know Evangelist Stanton had to get off. Elder Taylor, any last words for tonight?
Yeah, Pastor, you had said something that resonated with me. You said appreciate, you know, and that's what she was doing. She showed the Lord how much she appreciated him for who he is and what he does. And that's what I got out of the lesson tonight. Great, great, great lesson tonight. And it made me really reflect on my time away from the church building and our fellowship together, you know, that I really appreciate Jesus and who he is and what he's done. I really appreciate that he kept not only me but my family safe during this pandemic. And Where we've been in different places and different cities during this pandemic and could have been infected. But I just thank God that he's kept us and kept people that I know and love, my church family, at Praise Heaven, that kept us all safe. And I just want to say I appreciate the Lord today. I really appreciate him for who he is and what he does. And I think I thank you, Elder Oliver, for bringing it out. Because you can take things for granted and just think things are supposed to be this is the way it's supposed to be, but it don't have to always be this way, you know. And that's what I got. I just really appreciate what the Lord is and who he is and what he does for the people that love him, even the people that don't love him. But, you know, and that's where I'm at. I really just appreciate the Lord tonight. And my brother, Elder Oliver, great word, and you are a teacher. I just confirmed that with Pastor and Elder Bluet, and, you know, you are a teacher, man. So keep on pushing, brother.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, Elder Taylor. Rabbi, are you still on here, or did you have to go cut the veil?
I'm good. I'm good. Great lesson. Great lesson. I think it's all about, like I said earlier, just discovering yourself and know who you are first before you can even treat anybody right or treat or love anybody. So, like I said, this space and this time that we have right now is to sit back and consider our ways. Fall back in love with yourself. Find out who you are and then share that with people. And that'll be pure love, what God looks at for us to have. So, a great lesson, man. I appreciate your teachings always. May God keep giving you strength and giving you knowledge and breaking this word down and relating it to our everyday walk. And that's what it's all about. And you do that. So, great job.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Well, I tell you what, God, I told these brothers and sisters of mine that they make me look real good. We've never had to, I guess we could say we're one of a few churches that when you go on our Facebook or our YouTube, you see every minister, every evangelist, every elder at one time or another ministering. A lot of times when you go to churches, the only person you're going to hear is that pastor and maybe his wife or maybe one other person. But it ain't too many churches where that leader is going to share that, I guess, for lack of better words, that spotlight. But we're one of a few churches that if you go check us out, you're going to hear, you can see the great messages that Elder Bluet has preached down through the years. You can see the great messages Elder Taylor has preached down through the years, that Evangelist Stanton has taught and preached and teach down through the years. And the list goes on. And I'm just grateful to know that iron sharpens iron and that God has surrounded me with a great group of men and women that not only taught love, but I know that loves me and my family. And I'm grateful. I can leave, go out of town, or just not come in, not go to service, and I know everything is well with the church. So I'm grateful to God, and as he's leading us into the next phase of our fellowship, I want y'all to continue to pray for us. We're trying to see what's the best ways to do it. We may be just scheduling certain families on certain Sundays. We're just trying to, have some type of fellowship, some type of community back together, but still remain safe. Because as Elder Oliver said, we are still in a pandemic, and we don't want to tempt God. We don't want to say, well, you know, like the devil tried to tempt Jesus. We don't want to do that. So we want to. We want to make sure we are, you know, taking the necessary precautions that the CDC and the health experts have made. We're going to be talking to some of our nurses that we have that's at the church on maybe what their doctors or different ones are saying, because we want to make sure that everyone is safe. And if that means we can only get a certain amount of families in on a certain Sunday, then we'll do a rotation, however the Lord see fit. And for the families that you're okay with watching online and that's helping you, you're still growing, then we're not going to be, you know, there's no need to come back in the building if you don't feel that you need to. So we just want to just open up some doors and just to see how the Lord is going to lead us. Meet us back here. Thank you, Elder Oliver. Amen. Thank you so much, you and your precious wife. We thank God for you. Thank God for the gift. Elder Bluett, thank you so much. Taylor, Evangelist Stanton, thank you all so much. Meet us back here Thursday night at 7 o'clock, Chaos Blog Talk Radio over in London. Thank you so much. Our engineer partners over in London, thank you so much. Facebook Live will be ready on Thursday night. Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries. If you want to see a family, if you want to see what we're about, you want to see a family affair, tune in on Thursday night, and you'll see what we mean when we talk about it starts at home first. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you again. We appreciate you for tonight's study. Help us to understand the love, the listening, the learning, and the leading. God, and we pray tonight that you will step that on our hearts, that we will live thereby. We thank you for all that we've heard and what we've witnessed on tonight. We thank you for even pricking our hearts, even pricking my heart on tonight, helping us to realize that it has to be all about you. Can't have any ulterior motives, that we must come together to glorify and magnify your name. We just thank you and we appreciate you. God, to leave this place whenever your presence, as always, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, tells us to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. God bless you and good night.